Monster Man, episode 312, Snapper, and Solux stroke Sun Brother.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the Humanoids section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Our first monster for today is the Snapper. Now, the Snapper is not a snapper in the sense of a fish, but more like a snapping turtle, although they are marine, so they're like a cross between snapping turtles and sea turtles, I guess. They are big, squat turtle guys. They're very, very heavy. It's a bit weird. I think it says that they're kind of human height, but they weigh half a ton, which that feels like a lot, but what do I know? They are great big burly chaps. They're bad tempered and dangerous. I mean, much like snapping turtles can be. And they have like quite a detailed thing about how they lay their eggs. Like they have these sort of special stone settings where they lay their eggs. So like, there's a fascination there with how turtles lay their eggs, right? We know that turtles have quite elaborate egg laying behaviors. So that's something that we see here in the Snapper. And we're also going to see in the creature to which these are most obviously compared, the turtle. The Snapper, like I believe the turtle, comes from X9, the Savage Coast. I could be wrong about that. And the Snappers are basically the bad guy turtle people to the good guy turtles. They're quite detailed in terms of their sort of habitats and what they can and can't do. And I do like the idea that they're sort of cranky, is sort of the vibe I get for their personality, rather than, they're not like bent on world domination, they're just surly. The Snappers remind me a little bit of Taka from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, a film that I'm pretty sure I've never sat down and watched from beginning to end, but which by bits and pieces I have seen most of. So as you may know, in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, Shredder uses the same mutagen that transformed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles into, you know, mutant turtles to create two more monsters to fight them. You know, he needs some mutants of his own in order to fight those mutants. That's some comic book logic right there. And he uses the mutagen to transform a wolf and a snapping turtle to create Razar and Taka. Even, I mean, I must have been, I don't know when that movie came out, but I can't have been 14. And I was very frustrated by the existence of Taka, because you're going to add two more mutant animals to this world, which so far has two types of mutant animal, right? You got your turtles and you got your rat, Master Splinter. And to that, you're going to add a wolf, cool, mutant wolf, great, and a slightly different turtle? I mean, okay, snapping turtles aren't slightly different from regular turtles, but nonetheless, of all the animals in the world, you spun the animal dial and it landed on turtle again. You're allowed a mulligan on that one. And since it's a bit the same for me, like, turtles and snappers, I mean, they're very different, but it's weird that there's two of them. Like, you couldn't have come up with it, you know, the enemies of the turtle people can't be the anaconda people, the enemies of the turtle people can't be, I mean, the gator men already exist. So, within the context, you know, I feel like they're not that exciting, but they're fine. The idea of a snapping turtle man as an opponent is definitely a scary one when you think about that terrible beak. I have some lovely sort of turtle man miniatures from Reaper Miniatures, and I definitely think that they would be snappers. They're quite sort of menacing. Maybe they're not very original, but I mean, they're fine. And snapping turtles are threatening animals that people don't think about very much, so I guess that's a good source of inspiration for a monster. Next up, we have the Solux or Sun Brother. The Solux, they're in Castle Amber, but I don't know if that's where they come from. Soluxes are a species of solitary humanoids. They're 7 feet tall. That's about 2 meters, 15 centimeters for my metric listeners. And they are pretty decent folks. They are related to, it says, things like Ifriti and sort of other fiery creatures, but they are not themselves elementals. They are denizens of the prime material plane. Does that make them kind of proto-Genasi? Or is it Genasi? I don't know either of those questions. But they have decided that their sort of role on this plane is to stop Ifrits from like mucking about with the prime material plane. So if, you know, if Freets come here to do their evil schemes or whatever, and the Soluxes, the Soluces, these guys anyway, are going to stand up to them and drive them away. And if you defeat an Ifrit, then you get a promotion. You become one of the Brotherhood of the Sun, an elite chivalric order within the Soluxes, and you get a special magic shield that emits light. That's kind of cool. They're lonely warriors, and they don't kind of like, their thing is just that they fight Ifrits. So I think that the only circumstances under which they would really interact with the PCs is if for some reason the PCs needed to talk to an Ifrit and this thing was out hunting it, or if, you know, an Ifrit has like wormed its way into the court of this noble or something like that, and the Solux is just like, well, I can't just walk in the front door with my magic glowing shield being 7 feet tall and bright red with golden hair. If I did that, it would just give the game away. The Ifrit would know that I was on its trail and it would make its escape. So, you know, I need you guys to help me with it. I can see that. Because the Soluxes are not particularly specced for fighting Ifrits. For one thing, they can't fly, and I think Ifrits can fly. So, it's going to be a one-sided competition if the Ifrit decides not to try and kill the Solux, but instead to just make good its escape. Which is what I would do if I was an Ifrit. Nonetheless, I think I like the idea of a task that involves taking out an Ifrit in a more subtle manner, because the Soluxes are the farthest thing from subtle. And so I think if you play out that angle, they can be a lot of fun. I believe the guy in Castle Amber has a treasure chest that's just full of molten gold, because he used to have a bunch of gold coins in there, but he's just given off heat and they've melted. I guess that's fun. Giving a group of NPC characters a mission for which they are going to need the PC's help is a tremendous way to get them involved in games, and so therefore, I like the Sun Brothers. I also kind of like their sort of chivalric order. That's kind of neat. And, you know, maybe the PC's can wangle an introduction. You know, you get a magic shield that's pretty cool, but not super overpowered. You know, just sort of nice to have. A bit like going around in Skyrim or, you know, one of those games, you know, where you're always joining organizations that have very short hiring processes. When I played Morrowind, I joined the Imperial Army, and they gave me some armor, and it wasn't as good as my regular armor, so I didn't put it on. And so then I got yelled at for being out of uniform, so I put on my Imperial armor, and then I wandered around the fort, you know, doing adventuring stuff, and then I got yelled at for not being at my post. I mean, I imagine that's a very realistic depiction of being in the army, like you are supposed to wear your uniform, and you are supposed to not leave your post, but no thanks. Anyway, my point is that each of those groups gives you, you know, usually some kind of tchotchke or souvenir magic item that's like pretty good but not unstoppably great, and one of these magic shields from the Brotherhood of the Sun, you know, that'd be a pretty good one. So yeah, Sun Brothers, not too bad, but at the same time you can see why they maybe haven't kind of persisted, because I don't know that they have a very compelling hook. They're kind of a one storyline monster, maybe two, you know, maybe at some point, you know, maybe the first time you're fighting an Ifrit and a Solix comes over to lend you his aid because you have a common foe, and then the next time he turns up at your stronghold and he's like, oh, brave adventurers, recall that once I helped you slay the villainous Ifrit, well, now I require your aid, right? And so you maybe get two scenarios out of him. And hey, if you get two scenarios out of a one-column monster, you've definitely got your money's worth. All right, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we'll be continuing our journey through the humanoid section as we talk about the Stalwart and the Tortle. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.